bullish, bearish, or another nothing burger from USDA. Coley and Kavanaugh standing by and ready to give us their analysis of this past week's April WASDE report. And I got to say, I was disappointed that we didn't see a more aggressive adjustment in South American crops. I mean, David Coley told us last week about the problem with bugs infecting Argentina's corn crop, and then this week, CONAB cutting Brazil's soybean production again. So, I don't know. I really kind of expected to see something in the WASDE report, but I digress. Coley and Kavanaugh brought to you by the Allen County Farm Bureau. And the Farm Bureau is all hands on deck right now for this thing with broadband across the state of Indiana. $860 million coming into the state. And what we need to do is contact the Farm Bureau here in the state, find out what you need to do to tell them how bad your internet is where you live. And of course, that's mainly for farm families here around the state. But that's what the Farm Bureau is all about, is helping the interests of Indiana farm families. Your membership supports that. So go online and become a member at itpaystobeamember.org. All right, guys, let's start out with a one-word answer, just one word, and then we'll get into it. We'll talk about it. But all right, yeah, one-word answer, bullish, bearish, or nothing burger? David, you're first.
Nothing burger.
And John?
Slightly bearish.
That's two words. Yeah, but nothing burger is actually two words as well.
Okay, leave out the first word.
My first impression was that this was a bearish report as well. But I'm going to be selfish here because I want to go to the one that's really bothering me, and that is this Brazilian crop supply agency, CONAB, trimming its soybean production estimate again. You know, it was already at 147, went down to 146.5, so not a big change. But the point of it here is the disparity between that and what USDA has been reporting all along. Total corn production down from 112.75 to 111, second crop output, and this the Safrinha corn crop being such a big part of that total number, the total number down now at 111, and they dropped the Safrinha corn crop down to 85.6 million metric tons this month. But here's my rub, guys. David, give me an idea of what you're thinking is on this, and then we'll go to John. But total Brazilian grain production fell from 295.6 to 294, and that's total production in Brazil. So that's both corn and soybeans. That's down from 319.8 last year. And we've been told that this year was supposed to be so much bigger than last year because of more acres that were planted and obviously some more bushels, but down from last year, we were supposed to be up from last year. So maybe these problems, what, maybe worse than we thought they were, David?
Yeah, I think they are, because remember, this acreage is very, very poor. And when you look at pasture lands, if you look at anything that they've torn up to produce the crop, the topsoil is maybe a half inch to an inch thick there. So you've got to move from one field to the next. And that's the whole problem down in Brazil, is that the farms are constantly moving from one plot to another because the soil level isn't that great. Mm. And it makes it very difficult for the farmers to produce the crops.
John, shouldn't these numbers affect our grain market?
Well, they should. And Rob, you're exactly right, but you're still forgetting one thing out there is, Brazil's had some problems. We know that. How severe those problems are is obviously from the numbers we're seeing is very arguable. I still can't understand why USDA and CONAB are so far apart. That discrepancy between those two numbers is much greater than it usually is. But the other side of this thing, why the market's not reacting that much to it, is because Argentina's crop is so much larger than last year's. Remember, Argentina had a disaster last year. They had one of their worst droughts ever, and they had a very small crop. It was, what, half of normal or maybe less than that?
Yeah.
This year, they're back to normal yields. They're back to normal production, which is a sharp increase over a year ago. So when you combine Argentina with Brazil, the difference is still slightly of a total increase for South America. So therefore, the problems in Brazil just aren't affecting the market as much as they ordinarily would.
David, you mentioned this leafhopper disease that the bugs brought in. And we saw a downward move in the corn crop. But what's the update on that? Is it more severe than we thought, or are we going to get past this?
No, we're not getting past it. And again, it's from Rosario, the grain exchange there. And it turns out that they're looking at even smaller crop because the USDA is calling it the 55. And we're looking at last year to compare 36. So they did have a disaster last year. But the whole point is the Rosario exchange is talking about 50. And now this week they're talking about 49 on their crop because they continue to have more problems because of the stunt growth problems in their corn because of the insect population spreading this stunt degree.
Yeah,
you're going after me, David. You're kind of cutting me down on this thing, saying that things aren't as good as what we think they are, at least what USDA is saying.
Look how mature you are. I mean, you've been cut down so many times, there's hardly anything left of you. Look at me. I'm still over 200 pounds.
And you're bragging about it?
Sure.
Anyway, how about the report here in the U.S.? Any discrepancies there? Because, John, I'm actually with you on the bearish side of that. You know, when you're looking at what USDA had for the U.S., I was looking at it saying, a little on the bearish side there. Expound on your position.
Yeah, again, the report didn't change things very much. You know, when it comes to corn, the carryover was lowered 50 million as USDA increased both ethanol and feed usage by 25 million each. But we're still looking at a carryover projected at 2.122 billion. The bottom line is anytime you get 2 billion or more corn carryover, you have comfortable, adequate supplies. But soybeans, David Allendale, they're the ones that were really right on the money. The average bean carryover was 317 million bushels, basically unchanged from the previous month, but Allendale said it was going to be closer to 340, and it came out at 340. There was a lottery winner on that one. Good job, Allendale. That's excellent work. We're not getting the speculative interest into the ag commodities. The spec trade, they've moved away from ag commodities. They have no interest at the moment, so there's not as much trading and volume going in there to move the market. They're after the energies and the metals, gold, silver, copper, crude oil, all of which are in good bull markets.
Remember the old quote, figures never lie. Well, here we're looking at the carryover being reduced in corn from 2.172 billion down to 2.122. But guess what? The average price that the USDA says the corn's going to be is down to 470, down a nickel. So you have less interest in the corn. Yeah, but you've also got bigger demand from feed usage and you got bigger demand from ethanol, but it's worth 5 cents less. Isn't that funny? The world of economics sure is interesting when you can add two things together and get less.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense, does it?
And talk to us about that ethanol number, because you guys were suggesting that there were some kind of fishy-looking stuff with regard to ethanol and the numbers that the USDA put out in this report, David.
Yeah, the government's trying to reel in all this ethanol talk. Yes, they did increase ethanol demand from 5375 to 5400. But the point is, the government wants us to see less ethanol demand because they want us all to switch over to EVs. And China is going crazy to sell us EVs in this country because they're mass producing more than we are. And they're ready to start shipping ships over here with EVs loaded on them and dumping the EVs on our shores. So I guess it's all because of politics.
Now, John, here's another fuzzy math question in my mind, and that is, we got a couple of flash sales this week that are expected to go to unknown. 254,000 metric tons of soybeans to unknown. I believe that was Wednesday. There may have been another one. I think it was 124,000 tons to unknown this week. And then we hear that Chinese Customs reported that March soybean imports at 5.54 million metric tons are down 20% from last year and the lowest March figure in 4 years. And John, you were talking about corn, actually a bunch of stuff still on the books that has the potential to get canceled.
Yes, that's kind of scary. Now, you're right. We're seeing the soybean import interest from China running behind a year ago, and you just pointed out those March numbers, which are down 20% from a year ago. That's concerning. But corn, here's a number that's kind of got me concerned, because corn exports are doing reasonably well at the moment. However, there's 114 million bushels of corn export sales on the books to unknown destinations. Pretty much believe that the bulk of that is to China. Well, the fear is that that's just a hedge on their part. They've got those bushels on the books to protect themselves in case something goes wrong with the Brazilian safrinha crop, because that's what's mostly exported, is that safrinha crop.
Right.
And if the crop comes in as currently projected, then there's a good chance that a good portion of those 114 million bushels of sales are going to disappear. You know, the market's very much aware of that, and they're kind of sitting there saying, I don't want to get two bullets corn. Well, we may lose these sales around the books.
Yeah, well, again, we'll keep an eye on that one as well, like we have been with regard to the cattle, David. And one of the things that was in the report was some expanded feed use. And I was curious, David, if you can tell me what the deal is with beef this last week, as the numbers were dropping in. And like to some of the lowest in, about 3 or 4 months?
Yes, and I've noted that in the past few weeks. The demand for beef is actually going down at this point, although the hope is that the demand picks up once we get into the full barbecue season. But I've been dismayed by that. But then if you look at the prices for beef, it is outrageously expensive right now. So that's also having a negative effect on them. So I think the best thing to say right now is the demand for cattle is still going to remain strong. They're going to try and push it out as prime as possible. Yes, not select. They're going to go as much as they can, and not choice, to make it prime, to make it the restaurant trades as much as possible. And look at the weekly pork sales. Yeah. A lot of it went to Mexico again this time. That really surprised me. Almost half of it went to Mexico. So that was a good sell of demand. But I'll tell you, there's still a lot of problems out there that have to be dealt with.
Well, and especially with this bird flu thing, is it has hopped into the cattle population. And now all of a sudden, the pork people are concerned as well. All right, time for the final word. And Mr. Cavanaugh, what do you got for us this week?
Well, this hasn't been a particularly good week for a lot of encouraging news. I'm just going to point out another negative hanging over the market at the moment. It looks like, particularly out west, so we could see this coming week, we could see corn planting progress start to pick up. I'm hearing that there's some areas that they're going to get to making really good progress beginning next week. So we got to watch that one carefully. Around here in our market, we've had so much rain that obviously it's going to be a while before we get busy. But guys, last week it showed the harvest progress on corn at 3% done, which is actually just a tad better than normal. Doesn't mean anything this early. Texas, though, led the way at 59%. Those guys are getting close to being done out there. Right now is a negative to the market, but we'll see what develops in terms of corn planting progress this coming week.
Coley and Cavanaugh brought to you by the Allen County Farm Bureau, and they are banding together with the Indiana Farm Bureau with a broadband action alert that is critical for farm families here in the state to pay attention to. The Indiana Broadband Office is in the process of deciding where $860 million of federal broadband money is going to go here in the state of Indiana. Now, the IBO must use maps made by the FCC. Now, those maps show where broadband service has been reported as acceptable, but the maps have been found to be overstated. So the Indiana Farm Bureau Public Policy Team strongly encourages you to speak up by this Wednesday. You must act now. It takes less than 5 minutes to submit your story of low internet or no internet service. All you need to do is go online to the Indiana Broadband Office or the Indiana Farm Bureau to find out more details. You really need to act now to get the internet service that you deserve.
Podcasts by Federated Media.